Good morning. This is Mike Stola for the Stola Real Estate Report on the Cats Roundtable.
What's happening in the office market today in New York City? I don't know the answer, so I've brought together today Brett Shannon, who is the Senior Vice President of our group and the agency group business, correct?
That's right, and that CBRE agency group.
CBRE agency group. So tell me what the agency group is.
Sure. The agency group at CBRE in New York, a group about 10 professionals that specifically focuses on representing landlords in New York City in the leasing market with a special focus on larger scale repositionings, lease strategies. So rather than being engaged to represent a building that may have one or two suites or floorable, we're typically engaged to help formulate strategies for anchor tenant lease-ups, major renewal negotiations, new construction design, redevelopment design and strategy. It's a fascinating place to be because we get to work with a lot of incredible real estate professionals in their own right as our clients.
Both as owners and as tenants, correct?
Yeah, we primarily focus on ownership representation, but there's no doubt the engagement that we have with those anchor-sized tenants within New York City is an interesting sort of lens into the overall market.
So which is the best market today? Are we talking Hudson Yards for the pricing?
Yeah.
As an owner landlord, or is it Midtown Manhattan?
Yeah, I think what's fascinating about the market right now is just how bifurcated it is. Obviously, you see a lot of sort of doomsday headlines that are focused on macro trends. Oftentimes, they don't capture what's really happening on the street within the market. And so, for example, I think the core of Midtown right now is the strongest it's been in my career. I've been around CB since 2009, but in particular, Park Avenue near Grand Central core locations are performing the best they ever have. There's more demand for that space than there's been, and we're seeing real increase in rental rates as a result.
So what are the rental rates in the Park Avenue?
Yeah, depending on the product, they're well into the triple digits, right? So at new construction like One Vanderbilt or 425 Park Avenue, buildings that were delivered since 2021, they're now achieving rents in excess of $200 per square foot. The average asking rent in Midtown right now is about $80 a foot. So it gives you a sense of just how much runway those buildings have had, the scale of the demand, the profile of tenant to which they appeal. But even the typical older existing stock that's been renovated and repositioned along Park Avenue, Madison Avenue, Fifth Avenue, they're all seeing healthy rents well into the triple digits.
Is it an opportunity for a tenant in this market?
It's an opportunity to potentially secure the space that brings your employees back to work.
So what is it going to secure the space to bring the employees back to work?
Yeah, so I think what we've seen is going into the pandemic, there was what we'd call a flattening of geography around Manhattan, where tenants were primarily focused on attracting the best product, and they didn't care quite as much about the location where that office was. What we've seen is coming out of the pandemic, and in particular when you're competing with work from home, having what they call a one-seat commute and making it as easy as possible to get to work for talent, and then allowing that talent to go work in the best buildings and environments is really what it's taking to attract the employee base that the most discerning companies want. And I think along with that sort of shift in demand back to core Midtown, what we've seen is in the pre-pandemic market, much of the office market was being driven by big tech in a low interest rate environment that was focused on headcount growth and expansion and a certain type of product. And what we found is the tenants coming out of the pandemic with the strongest return to work metrics are the more traditional industries, in particular private financial services, banks, law firms. And those are the companies now that are the most active in the market and are competing to secure the highest quality space. And a lot of it is about attracting and retaining talent and providing the best environment for their employees to work in.
What about Hudson Yards? I want to talk about specifically the related properties and the other properties in the neighborhood, including Brookfield's.
So I think if you look at, Manhattan West is Brookfield's campus on the far west side. That's primarily anchored by new construction towers, and that's just slightly east of Related's far west side, Hudson Yards, right? Both of those projects have been extraordinarily successful, and it's a testament to the quality of the product that they delivered. And if you looked at the tenant rosters that they've attracted, you know, the most recent building to deliver over at Manhattan West, 2 Manhattan West, it's a combination of KPMG, D.E. Shaw, Clifford Chance, Cravath, right? It's an incredible roster of clients that I think speaks to the, tenants that I think speaks to the quality of what they provided. But what's interesting to me about the success that those buildings have had and certainly the rental rates that they've achieved is if you also look at the capital markets landscape going forward, we're in an environment right now where it's really hard to justify building and being able to achieve the rents required to break even on new construction delivery. So the pipeline of new construction within Manhattan, which had been really strong from 2013 going forward, right? You had delivery of the World Trade Center and millions of square feet downtown. You had delivery of Hudson Yards. You had delivery of Manhattan West, One Vanderbilt, and other major projects like that is virtually dry right now. There's no pipeline at all for new construction going forward. And so everything that was delivered in recent years has been spoken for by the highest quality tenants.
Okay, what about the 42nd Street with the Hyatts going to?
Sure, yeah, that's 175 Park Avenue. That's an incredible site. You know, the scale of that building is 3 million square feet. And actually, there's a number of projects that have been that have sites in direct proximity to Grand Central. You have 175 Park, 343 Madison Avenue, which is Boston Properties site. The Rudins have 415 Madison Avenue as well, a boutique building right there. The difficulty for a building like 175 Park at 3 million square feet is, again, in this environment, you need an anchor to step up.
Right.
And
it was
make
the
that
same
project
problem
viable.
Originally at One Vanderbilt.
Correct. Correct. And then TD Bank stepped up. They anchored the site, and they were off to the races from there. For a building like 343 Madison, that's a 900,000 square foot building. They just brought in Norges as an equity partner. That feels like the type of site where you could bring in, a 200,000-300,000 square foot tenant to anchor it, as opposed to a million square foot tenant, which is what I think something like 175 Park would require. It's an interesting time because I think we're believers that if the product existed, there would be demand for it. However, you know, it's hard to get tenants right now to take that level of construction risk when you're in an environment with the amount of availability that New York has. I'm optimistic that a number of those projects will figure out a way to move forward, and that when they do deliver, they'll be delivering into an environment and market where they're competing with virtually no peer competition.
What about Lower Manhattan? It's not doing that well, right?
Lower Manhattan, it's in a period of time where the World Trade Center sites, which were all new construction, delivered and also achieved, you know, blue chip tenant rosters. Those are interesting buildings because everyone thought that they'd end up going, you know, leasing to larger corporates and banks. And what they ended up attracting was this amazing roster of sort of technology mixed creative tenancy.
Right.
Yeah. And what we found, though, is, you know, the tech sector overall has probably had the weakest sort of return to work initiatives and traction. And so the direct space downtown right now is competing with sublet space in the best buildings within that market that's built, ready to go, furnished, doesn't require incoming tenants to spend much capital to secure the space, and is, as subleases are, is at a discount to direct space. So
what are the rents for the sublease?
The majority, I would just say the majority of the activity down there, which there is activity, is just focused on those options right now that are built, furnished, ready to go at a discount. And they're doing deals, you know, in the 50s and 60s per square foot for spaces that were trading in the 80s per square foot during the pandemic.
With a short period left, let's talk about Williamsburg over there with the two trees.
Yeah, it's an incredible site. We represent the refinery. It is new construction, but it's new construction within the wrapper, if you will, the facade that was the old Domino Sugar refinery site. And the building was designed by Vishan Chakrabarty. It is all glass and steel, all electric, and it's this amazing combination of new construction set back within an existing building that provides all of the benefits of new construction, but has all of the character of a real authentic New York landmark.
And what are the rents?
And what's fascinating there, right, is we can do deals depending on the floor, and, you know, in the 70s per square foot, and that's prior to getting potential municipal incentives that are available. And if you think about the types of rents you need right now to justify new construction in Manhattan, you know, as mentioned before, it's close to $200 per square foot. So we think the value proposition within Williamsburg for the refinery is hard to beat. And we're optimistic that we're going to have really strong leasing traction there moving forward.
I wish we had more time to talk. We'll maybe have you in the future. I'd like to thank Britt for being here. See you next week.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.